when I saw what the readings were today, I thought, well, maybe I should change and read something else. And, have the Mass for lay movements or something. But the more I thought of it, the more I thought, this is a word for us. And it has two parts, the Gospel and the letter to the Hebrews. The Gospel is clear in one way. What was driving John the Baptist? Love. That's what was driving him. And when he saw the leader of his country committing adultery, he knew what effect it would have on the people in his country. When the leaders are leaders in sin, the people follow more readily. And so he had the courage to confront the king and say, what you're doing is wrong. You have no right to your brother's wife. And it was Herodias, the wife, who headed in for him. So finally he was arrested, and then you know the rest of the story. And it's a sordid story. You know, there's some lust, Herod taking a woman that's not his wife. And then there's anger and hatred on Herodias' part. Then there's more lust with the girl dancing. Hatred. The woman said, I want his head. And finally, you know, murder. And the guard went down and did his duty. And then it's over. And the disciples come and take his body. But it starts with courage. The courage of love. I will not let my people be led astray. After all, he is the last and the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. And the only thing that they had in common was their love for God's people. You don't get courage like this trying to be a reformer. You only get courage like this from the Lord through love. And so he loved. And he loved his nation. He loved his people. And he risked everything in order to that the truth of God's will would not be obscured among the people in the nation. And he paid for it with his life. This may never happen to any one of us. It might. But certainly, having love for the nation where we are born is part of the gift of piety. It's part of a supernatural gift. And so we are, therefore, obliged to profess and speak up for the truth. One lone man in a small country is noticed and dealt with as here. But you see, if the heart of what we have been given is a deep personal knowledge of Jesus and union with him, that's the gift, okay? Well, that's the gift of Christianity. And as Benedict said recently when he said, the whole church has to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which was, he knew what he was saying. And he knew how people would take it. It was at the Regina Caeli on Pentecost Day. The whole church must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he went on to explain, that means become aware of what the Lord gave us at baptism and confirmation. And live it. And bear witness to it. And if it comes to this, it comes to this. As I mentioned, when I saw this happening in our own country, you know, people are saying, well, things aren't so bad, you know, yet, anyway, you know, maybe he'll fix this economy and we'll all be happy. It's very short-sighted. This is a man who, from the opening moment of his campaign, dedicated himself to murder, to abortion, and to all sorts of other sexual irresponsibility. The people he's appointing to his cabinet are people who would follow him in this. Now, only God knows what's going to happen. But part of what we have to do is have the courage and the intelligence to work to protect God's people out of love. 56, was it, percent of the Catholics in this country voted for this man because they couldn't see further than a possible, you know, financial advantage. And of course, the other fellow was not exactly a superstar, and so on. But he at least would have protected the children. And so there wasn't enough grasp of the reality, and it wasn't real enough to most people who are Catholics, that what could happen, what he said was going to happen, to change their vote. Now that's partially our fault. We've been 40 years baptized in the Spirit. You know, the last time John Paul II visited the United States, and he went to the East Coast, he landed in New York, I think, and then went to the middle, and then he went in, and every place he went, people were saying, you know, we're not an immigrant church anymore. You know, we're mature now. We have our universities, we have our leadership, we're not an immigrant church anymore. Implying we don't have to take so much direction from Rome as we used to. Well, he heard it for the last time out in California, and he stopped, and he said, if you are so mature, why have you made absolutely no contribution to your culture? It is as though we Catholics didn't exist, except for movies about going my way and things. But I mean, real issues? No. Now, it's love to think things through and share them in a simple way. Not as dramatic as John the Baptist, but to think it through. And so he finally challenged us, you see. In fact, in his letter, founding the Council for Culture, he has this line, most of you are familiar with it, I think. Faith, which does not become culture, is a faith which has not been fully accepted, completely thought through, or really lived out. Faith must become a culture. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit moves us to form communities is to form a culture where the young can grow up learning who God is and loving Him and giving their lives to Him. It's a culture. Not a culture that, you know, we like Beethoven rather than rock music. You know, maybe I do. But I mean, that's not the point. Culture is this vision of reality and how to live in accord with it. And it's still a challenge for us. The reason why there are these charismatic communities and other ecclesial communities is to form Christian culture that is beautiful, inviting, to win people over. We hold out this gift for the whole world to take if they want. Baptism in the Spirit. Here. I didn't invent it. It's yours. And that's the fruit, you see, of living it out. That's a challenge we have every day. Now, the first reading, we're at the next to last passage in the letter to the Hebrews. Tomorrow, we have the last one. And then Monday, tune in and find out. You'll find out. It's Genesis. Anyway. Now, listen to this man. Do you remember the day before? We had this text. Hebrews is a very mystical letter. But listen to this part. You have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire in gloomy darkness. He's talking about the account in the book of Exodus of the giving of the law. And in the Jewish tradition, you see, all revelation is still contained in the fire of Sinai. It's there. So he's saying, you haven't come to this place where the people were too afraid to listen. They said, Moses, you go talk to God and tell us what he wants. That's not anymore. Now the very blood of Christ has purified us. His sacred, divine Holy Spirit dwells in us. You see, it says, indeed, so fearful was the spectacle that Moses himself said, I am terrified and trembling. No. You have approached Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the judge made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. That's right here. This is our Mount Zion. It's right here. Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And that new covenant is in his blood. And we are invited to be part of that again. And to give our lives to the Father in love as Jesus does every time. He's fixed on an act of love for eternity. And he becomes present here on this altar. Not in all the glory and splendor he has in heaven, but no less really. And so this text is telling us we're invited to that. We're invited to that. We're in heaven as far as we can be, including the angels who are here, maybe in the thousands. They don't take up any room. There could be 2,000-3,000 angels here right now worshiping with us. What a privilege. Now, then he starts the next day, you see, with all this simple advice. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect hospitality. In other words, the wonder and splendor of the act of love in which Jesus died is to be manifest in simple things. Love, be hospitable, forgive. And more importantly than tracing how we got into such a mess, and we're in a mess. I mean, the whole Western mind is in a state of apostasy. Is to preach the gospel with love. To be simple and honest, and to love our enemies. And so we have these two messages, and I thought, as I reflected on it, maybe these texts are not so inept for us today. We need the courage that comes from love. And we need the simplicity that comes from love. You know, talk to anybody. Talk about God to anybody. Don't worry about it, you know. Just start. You know, you could be standing in the grocery line waiting to pay, and you could say to the person next to you, if this keeps up, I'm not sure I'm going to have enough money to pay for these things. They'd all know exactly what you're talking about. And you start a conversation. And in that conversation, you start to say things like, I'm going to pray that all these will be, you know, worked out, especially for the poor. That maybe all you're supposed to do is this, maybe God has in mind that 150 people are going to talk to this person until their heart is finally ready and they come to faith. And you might be number 116. So do what you're supposed to do. You know, be courteous. Be hospitable. You know, all out of a fiery love for Jesus Christ. I'll tell one funny little story, then I promise I'll stop. The foundress of the Marianold Sisters, very holy woman. She was a big woman, big, tall, heavy, big woman. And she had a heart attack in the middle of a blizzard up in Marianold, New York. So finally the ambulance got there through all this snow, you know, and they wrapped her up and carried her out in the cold and the stretcher, brought her to the hospital, and she knew she was dying. So she said to one of the sisters, now make sure those men get a nice glass of whiskey. They're out in the cold carrying me, and I'm not a small person, you see. Take care of them. Now you see, she's going to go see the Lord in maybe an hour, but your heart is open enough to make sure these men get something to keep them warm. That's what this text is talking about. If we do that, you have no idea how many people we will win over. Because it's a humanly and understandable thing. But in us, we are human by the grace of Christ.